Over the past few weeks, we've been thinking about leaven as a type of sin. Today, I'd like to discuss the idea that sin can be like a virus or a disease. I'd like to start by reading a little section from an article on immunology.org. When a virus infects a person, it invades the cells of its host in order to survive and replicate. Once inside, the cells of the immune system cannot see the virus, and therefore do not know that the host cell is infected. To overcome this, cells employ a system that allows them to show other cells what is inside them. They use molecules called class 1 major histocompatibility complex proteins, or MHC class 1 for short, to display pieces of protein from inside the cell upon the cell surface. If the cell is infected with a virus, these pieces of peptide will include fragments of proteins made by the virus. A special cell of the immune system, called a T cell, circulates looking for infections. The T cell releases cytotoxic factors to kill the infected cell, and therefore prevent survival of the invading virus. Viruses are highly adaptable and have developed ways to avoid detection by T cells. Some viruses stop MHC molecules from getting to the cell surface to display viral peptides. If this happens, the T cell doesn't know there's a virus inside the infected cell. That's all I'm going to read from that article. But to summarize what I've just read, a virus infects a cell and is hidden within that cell. The cell uses these proteins to try and flag down the immune system to say, we need some help over here, there's something wrong. Then there's the T cells, which are going around taking care of anything they see that they recognize as a problem. But just as our immune system is getting good at recognizing viruses, the viruses are also changing to try and be even better at going undetected. Now, I'd say there are some similarities here between how our body deals with infection and how we need to be dealing with sin. Firstly, sin is everywhere. Just as bacteria and viruses are everywhere, Satan is the prince of the air, and he is trying to get his attitudes into our thoughts just as much as a virus wants to enter one of our cells. Secondly, sin can begin with a single thought, just like a viral infection can begin with a virus entering a single cell. And thirdly, the satanic influences around us are constantly adapting to get at us from new and unexpected angles, just like viruses are changing to be better at beating our immune systems. Information can come at us from so many more angles than it could, say, 50 years ago, or even 10 years ago. Through the internet, video, social media, news, computers have made the opportunity to sin, the movement of ideas, and lowering standards so much greater and faster. Satan's influences might get you through a TV show that you thought was generally wholesome, but is now pushing a liberal agenda. Or a song that sounds good but has negative meanings buried in its lyrics. Or maybe you've been influenced by a church group that you thought was on track but had slowly changed course without detection. Sin might also go unnoticed within us, in our attitudes too. Attitudes that can grow within us like a cancer and go unnoticed unless we stay on alert and meditate on our thoughts through prayer and study. Anger, for example, is a very easy emotion to have, and isn't necessarily a bad thing in itself, but it can grow within us and change to bitterness. Just like healthy cells can mutate and become cancerous and be invisible to our immune systems. So we need to be watching internally as well as externally to everything coming at us. So just like viruses mutate and get better at beating our defenses, so does sin and the way it can get past our spiritual defenses. I'd like to move on now to a scripture in James that helps us understand the process in which sin enters. James 1 verse 14. James 1 verse 14 says, "But each one is tempted when he is drawn away by his own desires and enticed. Then, when desire has conceived, it gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth death." James is explaining to us the stages that we go through to eventually die spiritually. At first, we are drawn away from God. To be drawn away means there must be a right place to be in to start with. That place is a place of spiritual healthiness. How do we become spiritually healthy? We'll come back to that in a little bit. The next stage is to be tempted. Something enters our mind, be it through seeing it, hearing it, or thinking it, and we don't immediately remove it. We allow it to be there in our minds, like we have been exposed to a virus, exposed to something toxic or unclean, and our body's defenses did nothing to stop it. A virus can find its way in and contaminate a single cell, like an idea can lodge in our thoughts, and we might not even realize it. Next, the idea conceives. It gets accepted as something that's not so bad. Nothing we need to deal with or remove. What harm could it do? Then, we think about it some more. The temptation becomes accepted, and the idea multiplies in our mind like a virus does in our cells. If nothing is done about it, the virus leads to a serious infection that will eventually bring death. We need to be on guard against temptations, just like our human immune system is for viruses, watching 24/7. I'd like to quickly read an account of someone whose defenses to temptation were very strong. The story of Joseph and Potiphar's wife in Genesis 39. Genesis 39, starting in verse 6, says, "Now Joseph was handsome in form and appearance, and it came to pass after these things that his master's wife cast longing eyes on Joseph, and she said, 'Lie with me.' But he refused, and said to his master's wife, 'Look, my master does not know what is with me in the house, and he has committed all that he has to my hand. There was no one greater in this house than I, nor has he kept back anything from me but you, because you are his wife. How then can I do this great wickedness and sin against God?' So it was, as she spoke to Joseph day by day, that he did not heed her, to lie with her or to be with her. But it happened about this time, when Joseph went into the house to do his work, and none of the men of the house was inside, that she caught him by his garment, saying, 'Lie with me.' But he left his garment in her hand, and fled and ran outside." Joseph was being tempted. He knew it, and his answer over and over was no, no, no. He did not heed. In fact, he refused to even be with her, let alone lie with her. His strength came from, firstly, not being drawn away from God, remembering it was a sin against God first and foremost, instead of an excuse like not wanting to lose his job, or what will people say, etc. It was a sin against God. Secondly, not even wanting to be with her, let alone lie with her. Wanting to stay away from this temptation as much as possible. Staying out of a toxic environment. He remained close to God and kept his defenses up. Unfortunately, he got in trouble for something he didn't do, but that's because God had much bigger plans for Joseph. How do we improve our own defenses? Just like our human immune system builds up a memory of viruses it has dealt with, so we also need to be building a database of how to live God's way. That database is God's Word, constantly cross-checking how we are living with how God instructs us to live. cross-checking every cell in our body with what we know to be healthy. A baby begins with little immunity of its own. It has to grow and learn in its new environment. So do we in our spiritual lives. The only purpose of our being right now is to learn. Learn from experience. To be growing in grace and knowledge, as it says in 2 Peter 3:16. Just like our immune system is working night and day to cross-check every cell in our body with what it knows to be healthy or unhealthy, we also need to be cross-checking our thoughts and attitudes with the Word of God. To be physically healthy, there are three or four things that we need to do. One is to eat the right kind of food. This is like reading the Word of God, consuming righteous food from our Creator. Secondly, eat getting exercise. This is like practicing living God's way through every aspect of life, strengthening ourselves through practice. And thirdly, getting rest, using the Sabbath to its full purpose and getting some time out of our busy lives to meditate and think. Maybe putting our electronic devices down for a while just to think and examine ourselves. Mr. Bowles covers this topic too in his update on February 14th, 2020. He provides scriptures for each of those points. What is our goal? Our goal is to become like God, for our defenses to become so strong that it is impossible for us to sin. As it says in Habakkuk 1:13 about God, "You are of purer eyes than to behold evil, and cannot look on wickedness." Also, where we were earlier, in James 1:13, "For God cannot be tempted by evil." We are not going to be able to achieve that perfection in our lifetimes, but that is the direction we should be headed. But it is not within our power to make ourselves be like God. We cannot make ourselves be unable to sin just through sheer trying. We have to rely on God to fight our battles, including our battles against sin and temptation. It takes a lifetime of practicing our faith and putting our trust in God to direct us and lead us through. He will flag the problems that we need to deal with and help us overcome them. As long as we are watching and are alert and keep our lives always centered on God, eating healthy, getting exercise, practicing God's way, resting and praying, God will help us to be overcomers if we can take these steps toward being spiritually healthy with a strong spiritual immune system.